about.
It's time to laugh again.
Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Pluto is, has been, and will always be the ninth planet.
Why would we make Pluto a planet again? We've already rectified that mistake.
Mistake? Hasn't Pluto been through enough already?
Eris is bigger.
By 15 miles. By your logic, why don't we make everything a planet? Why don't we make that Nativity Jesus a planet?
Why don't we make your forehead a planet?
What?
Act like I'm not here. Fun fact. Do not talk to me. I'm not here. Do you hear me? I mean, you don't because I'm not here, but I'm not here.
And now.
Max, how bad could it be?
So bad. And I'm entertained by everything. I once went to a play.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 17th of January.
Kids.
Bean.
What's happening?
Hey, Sniffles. How you feeling?
I'm just a little sniffly. It's chilly out. The schnoz is very, very active when there's changes in weather. So
this room is the nastiest room that we could possibly be in.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's a petri dish.
Sure,
yeah.
It really is.
So just a little sniffly.
When you say it's chilly out, I know that you have had a little bit of a cold snap there, as many people have around the country. What is it outside right now?
Oh, probably 54.
Right?
54?
Freezing.
Right. How'd you get in?
I don't know how people are even up and around.
Did you sled in? You can't drive in that, right?
Oh, no. It's just pure ice. Yeah.
So nice.
Hey, it's 19 at my house right now.
Yes. You're an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, you're living in the wrong place.
Look, this doesn't happen in Louisiana. I'm telling you, it's 19 and it snowed last night.
No right. way.
So you're telling us, A, that it's 19 and B, that it snowed, and C, that that doesn't happen.
I'm
in New Orleans? I've never really heard of snow there.
Because it only happens about every 10 years. That's why.
Is that because it's below sea level?
I don't know why it is, but this is a freaky storm that is all over the South, all the way into Florida and all the way up the entire East Coast, all the way to Maine. It's below freezing.
You know where it's not?
What?
California.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, it was a big surprise to me, too. But, you know, all of the bridges and roads and everything are iced over. The entire city is just at a complete standstill.
Oh,
good
times.
It's so quiet out. It's crazy. There's no one.
Oh, you must be thrilled with this. You can go out and drive, go to a restaurant. You won't see people.
He just said it was all iced over.
It's all ice, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, a little bit of a surprise. I will tell you that. But congratulations
now,
on your 54.
Oh, trace
53, just
snow?
Hit 53.
Did it?
Yeah, just hit 53.
We are frozen here. Did it leave just a trace amount of snow, or can you make a snowball?
Oh, no. It's just a dusting.
Oh.
It's nothing crazy, but... It was still kind of a surprise to see it coming down last night.
Yeah. Sure.
Certainly not what you expect in the Gulf South. That's
sure.
for sure. So, but look, what are you going to do?
Right?
So true,
That's
Bean.
A great point.
So true.
I'm going to write that down. We should trademark that or something.
I put it on T-shirt.
You know what
I
else?
Brought it home, didn't
You know
I?
What else? It is what it is.
Oh,
it is what
how
it is.
Dare
Actually,
you.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That is true.
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of show today. Looking forward to it. But I want to start with this story that was a real surprise to me. I am not ashamed to admit that the 2003 album by the Ataris, So Long Astoria, is one of my favorite albums. And it's an album that I still pull out and listen to at least once or twice a year. We play Boys of Summer from that, but there's four or five great Atari songs on that album.
Okay.
Well,
How
the
can
Ataris.
We play Boys of Summer then?
Huh?
Nothing.
The Ataris are in the news right now because their bass player has just been indicted for a telemarketing scam. And this is an interesting story. His name is Michael Davenport. And he came up with a plan where he created a company out of Santa Barbara that was called American Standard, but also operated under other names too. They placed Craigslist ads showing what they said were pre-foreclosure homes at below market costs. And for $199, they said customers could purchase the houses by simply taking over the homeowner's mortgage payments and the deeds to the home would be transferred into the customer's names. So people see this and they go, that sounds like an amazing deal. If there's a way to kind of get in below market value and just not have to put a huge down payment and just pick, and these houses are going to be foreclosed, but instead they're going to sell them to me and I just pick up the payments. What a deal, right?
Sure.
I don't want to say a lot of people fell for it, but 100,000 people over 7 years fell for it.
Are you kidding?
Once victims paid the fee, they learned that the properties were, in fact, not for sale, and many of them did not even exist at the address, which means that some of these people who were putting down their $199 never even went to the property, never even looked at the house, or just looked at pictures online and said, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And maybe these were people who were planning on flipping them or something, so they didn't really care that much about it. So when they requested a refund, they were told they had to wait 90 days and then mail a refund request. And listen to this, along with 5 copies of letters from the property's owners proving that they were incorrectly listed.
Five copies?
Yes, which just sounds like a nonsense thing to make up just to have somebody give up and go, I don't even understand what they're asking of me here. I don't know how to go about doing that. I'm just going to give up my $199.
Yeah.
So even if somebody was able to do that, they still didn't give out any refunds. So again, 7 years between 2009 and 2016 until the offices were raided by FBI officers, over 100,000 people, he scammed $27 million.
Wow.
Whoa.
How about that?
The guy from the Ataris?
Yes, the bass player for the Ataris scammed $27 million.
Chip, you're doing it all wrong.
Wow.
Chip, you need something on the side besides the band. The bassist was arrested in Little Rock, Arkansas last month at the airport. He had $104,000 in cash on him.
Like you do.
Sure.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, you're begging questions from TSA if you're carrying anything over $10,000 cash, right? I feel like that's a
– Yeah, that's the limit.
A rookie move.
If you have like $9,500, you're fine. $10,001,
right.
they take a
they
look
got
at
questions.
You.
You got to declare it, right?
Yeah.
So $104,000 on him, and then the FBI seized another $850,000 from his personal bank account, and he will be arraigned today to answer these charges. What a crazy story, though, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, you put up a Craigslist ad, and the next thing you know, you have $27 million. I'm not advising it. I'm saying don't do it.
Don't do that.
But it's insane that it would be that successful for that long.
He was working alone on this?
He had a partner. He had a fellow California resident named Cynthia Rawlinson. No indication in this article whether that was his wife or just a business partner or whatever, but the two of them together.
Wow.
They faced 30 years in prison for conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud, 5 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of mail fraud.
Man, oh man.
7 years that went on.
I know. I'm stunned that they couldn't shut it down faster. You would think enough people would have reported it to somebody. That they would have looked into, or maybe it just takes a long time to make a case like this. I don't know, but I was just shocked by it.
They probably didn't report it because they went back to this company, like you said, and he had them jumping through hoops to try and prove, and then they probably took a long time.
Yeah, and then you finally go, oh, it's $200. None of this is worth it.
Not worth
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Right? I bet that's exactly what happened, is they just thought it wasn't worth the hassle. They just wanted to move on.
And this company is DirecTV?
Still having issues?
Yep.
Oh, Kevin.
Every day, Kevin goes home after work and takes a stiff drink.
Yep.
Yeah.
Picks up the phone and calls him back.
Have you gotten to Bean level yet?
The worst.
Have you cried yet?
Well, Bean and I are different in that when I get angry, I don't lose it crying.
Okay.
Bean gets too frustrated and can't continue. I get frustrated, but then I just ask for a supervisor and I get more angry.
Yeah.
But
And do you find yelling at them helps?
I mean, I try not to. And for the most part, I've been able not to. But but the problem is, with a big company like that, every single time you call somebody, it's somebody new.
Yeah. And
you have to start from the very beginning, which is sort of complex. Yeah. And then it takes them a very long time. And the thing that has driven me crazy is they spend so much time telling you that they're going to solve your problem.
Sure.
Every person on the phone is like, oh, I'd be happy to help you with that. We'll get it settled today. Mm-hmm. They start with that. And then they say a bunch of other things that mean the same thing. We're going to take care of this. I'm glad that you talked to me. At one point, I was just typing. This is in a chat.
Yeah.
I was just typing, hey, that last sentence that you just said was the same as the three sentences before you. When can we get started? Oh, it drives me crazy.
They're
the worst.
I'm sorry.
Worst!
I'd like to say my cable's better.
But it's not.
It is not.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
This has turned into a show.
I mean, It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race. This is their 30th season, if you can imagine. Pretty interesting cast.
Yeah, all robots.
No?
No?
No, NBA players. And,
I read an article.
Competitive eaters.
Competitive eaters, right? Joey Chestnut.
Really?
Yes. Goat yoga instructors.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Anaheim Ducks tickets. Ducks play the Kings. We got tickets for you coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about tattoos that you love that maybe everyone else doesn't love quite as much.
Okay.
We have a listener who sent us her tattoo. And I mean, she said she's been waiting 7 years to get it.
We don't know if she loves it because it's kind of awful or if she just loves it because she thinks it's awesome.
I'm going to answer that for you. She thinks it's awesome.
It's pretty janky, but I will tell you that in our office, we seem to be split on whether it's a good or a bad tattoo. It's just it's a very polarizing look, I think. Mm.
I mean, it's a funny concept,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like it was drawn by a six-year-old.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll talk to her today. And we have Michael Pena as well from the movie 12 Strong. And that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Never been more terrified to hand it over to Allie for what's happening. But I see that Betty White is trending, and I don't know why, Allie. And I'd be better not have bad news for me.
Dead.
Don't How
even.
Dare
don't
you?
Even.
What? It's just a guess.
No. Beautiful Betty White is turning 96 today.
Ah.
Yeah, she's
sexually
very
harassed
much.
Someone?
What? No.
Is that why she's trending?
It's her birthday. So people are just very happy that she's still alive. But it's true that you see someone trending, you think the worst.
Yeah, especially when it's an older person. How about making the hashtag Happy Birthday Betty White then?
Instead
or
of just Betty White?
Hashtag yes. Betty White still alive. Not
yes,
dead yet.
Betty White still alive would be better too. Okay, good. Because I don't think we could take it.
Honestly. 2018, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Exactly.
Speaking of things that make zero sense in life, this whole January Jones dating that Bachelor guy, Nick Viall.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. He was on The Bachelorette. He was one of the guys vying for one of them and lost.
Right.
So then he went to those island shows where he was
Bachelor
in
Paradise.
Sure. Scummy and gross and hooking up with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they thought, hey, he's really boring and has been on every show. Let's make him The Bachelor.
Yes. Right. That's
okay.
Exactly what happened.
And
nobody
he was
likes
awful.
Him. Let's make him The Bachelor.
And
okay.
he was awful, yes.
And he was awful.
Okay.
Right.
Got it. Well, apparently, this is how it all went down. January Jones was on James Corden and was talking about how she's a Bachelor superfan. And as she's talking about it, the topic of Nick came up and she said, you don't know if you like him or if he's a scumbag. And I think that's why I'm attracted to him. Oh,
nice.
January.
Nice.
So he reached out to her and tried to get her to do a lip sync battle with him. Yeah, Nick, you've got game. What? But she declined and he then asked her out for a drink and she accepted that. So they've been dating about 2 months now.
How is this happening?
I don't know. But a woman on Twitter brought up a great point. Natalia said, my biggest question is, how can you be a super fan of the show and then still date Nick?
Right?
Like, you know who this guy is.
Yeah, you're not paying attention. What is that? What I mean, just that sentence that you quoted, I don't know whether he's a nice guy or a scumbag. Wouldn't that be enough to turn most women away from wanting a relationship with him?
Have you met ladies?
Any?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Some women tend to like that bad guy and tend to like that guy that you think you can change.
What about that super dull guy?
Plot twist, you can't. yeah, super dull, I'm not into that, but who knows? I mean, she's been through so much with Dawn that maybe it was just time to have somebody that was kind of dull.
That was just Mad Men. That was just her character on the show. She was Betty Draper.
All right. Well, I did enjoy reading some of the Twitter comments. All caps, we need to stage an intervention immediately. Or this one, which is my favorite. This is like climbing to the top of Mount Everest and tumbling down to the bottom.
All right, Allie, this is going to confuse things for you.
Oh,
here's a list of January Jones's ex-boyfriends. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis. Now, that makes sense. Great guy, right? Adrian Brody, kind of a weirdo. But seems okay. Mm-hmm. Bobby Flay. Here's the one that kills me. Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
Josh Groban.
Very funny.
seems like a great guy.
Very clever.
Sean William Scott also seems like a great guy. Jim Carrey, nut job. Ashton Kutcher, way back in the day as well.
Okay.
So she doesn't really have a type at all, does she?
Well, they all are very smart and clever and funny, except Jeremy Piven. so maybe she's trying a different route. Or maybe Nick is really funny and none of us know
Come
that.
Come on now.
No?
I mean, is it possible he went through all those seasons on The Bachelor and none of us picked up on anything?
No, not possible.
Well, I don't watch that crap. That's on you guys.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. Did you see Kid Rock trending yesterday on Twitter?
Did not.
I did.
Kid Rock.
What did he do? Oh, well, he'll be headlining the entertainment for the NHL All-Star Game. What? NHL, what are you doing?
Where's the All-Star Game? Is it in Detroit?
No, that would make a little bit of sense. If they got him, and then I'd say, is Eminem busy?
Right.
Anyone else from Detroit? Jack White? Any of them busy? But no, it's in Tampa, which I guess Kid Rock is pretty Florida, if you think about it. Wow. But the press release from the NHL, let me just read the first sentence that made me go,
I don't know who they're dealing
with. Who are you? Kid Rock burst onto the scene in 1998 with his Devil Without a Cause album and hasn't looked back. Really? Where's he looking? I don't know where he's looking.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I saw a lot of people quoting former NHL great Jeremy Roenick saying he's one of the best, most accomplished musicians ever.
Nope.
Yep.
No.
Jeremy.
Nope.
Too many hits to the head for old Mr. Roenick is what I'm thinking. But I bring up Kid Rock not only because it's a horrible decision by the NHL, but it's also his birthday. So happy birthday, Kid Rock. Also former First Lady Michelle Obama, Jim Carrey, Betty White, Steve Harvey, DJ Calvin Harris, Zooey Deschanel, Lil Jon, DJ Tiesto, James Earl Jones, and Maury Povich. And that's what's happening.
You home tonight.
Right?
Fun.
Right?
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:35.
From Ant-Man and so many other great projects, actor Michael Peña joins us just after 7 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's in that new 12 Strong, which, Kevin, looks to me like a movie you will be at by noon on Friday.
All about that, yes.
Looks like it's all about you, exactly.
Yep.
Also, Ducks Kings tickets on the program today and our friend Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
Ali, what are we doing now? We don't know.
Well, right before we came on, Bean gave us a temperature update down in New Orleans. What's the temperature?
Well, it's up to 17 right now.
Up to 17 degrees down
it's
there.
Like summer.
In the south, which is crazy weather. And they have been having crazy weather the past couple weeks in the south. They've had ice. They now have snow. There's Winter Storm Inga is hitting right now, which I love.
Inga.
She's lovely. It's going from the Florida Panhandle all the way up to Maine, which made me think about snow days. Have either of you lived in a place where you had snow days?
Oh, I absolutely have, yes.
Okay, then Bean, you know the joy of either listening to the radio or watching that scroll on a newscast and seeing your school. And that means if your school is named, there's no school that day.
School's closed that day,
School is done. You either can't get there, weather's going to be too bad throughout the day that parents won't be able to pick you up, whatever. No school, go back to bed, you are home free.
Yes, that's the happiest second of your whole year when you hear your county called out or your school system. Absolutely.
Exactly. But sometimes when you're watching the news, it's scrolling so fast because there's so many schools. You're like, wait, was that Lincoln Elementary? Oh, shoot. So you miss it. Well, there is a school in Florence, Kentucky called Union Point Academy. They have an incredible way of alerting their parents and their students to a snow day, and it comes direct from a principal who I now want to hang out with. I might want to make him my life partner. His name is Mr. Chad Cadell.
I don't like principals as a...
Oh, no. This one, let me just tell you, the first video I saw, he's dressed in a jacket. He's got a fur hat with those furry flaps that come down over your ears. And he's looking into the camera, and here's what he says.
Good morning, Union Point Academy parents and students. This is your principal, Mr. Cadell. This early morning, I got something on my heart I gotta share with you. There's a message. If you look inside your phone, You don't have to be afraid of what it says.
Yeah.
I see streets and roads have shut the city down. So I'm reaching out to you, and I gotta say,
Bring it home, Chad.
The school is canceled for today. Go back to bed and go out and play. Tests and homework, not a trace.
This is the principal?
This is the principal. And this is on their Facebook page. So that was the first one, doing a little Mariah Carey. So then, three-day weekend this weekend, right? MLK Day.
It's the past weekend,
awesome.
Right?
What's better than that? Oh, a four-day weekend, but let's make it country.
Hey, y'all. Days like this, I sure am thankful for my 4x4 dually. Well, the forecast was clear. Snowmageddon was near. Go get your milk and your bread. The call just came in. Here we go again. I can drag my sleepy rear out of bed.
This is the principal?
Again,
blame it
the
all
principal.
On those kids. I swear they flip their lids. Flushing ice cubes, PJs inside out.
Same guy as
but
the first
their
tape,
principal
right?
Yeah. Called,
he's got
so
range. He's got range. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Let him get to the chorus.
Hashtag this phrase that I'm going to share.
Okay. Do it.
Because I got friends in snow places with their frozen toes.
But Bean, if you watch him, there's so much joy in his face. He is just living for this.
It seems like he's happier about it than the kids are.
He is praying for a snow day so he can show his range. Okay, we've had Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a little Garth Brooks.
Right.
Bean, this one's for you.
Tell me.
Morning, families. How you been? I must tell you an unbelievable thing. Frigid, freezing, bitter, cold. Weatherman, he's saying wind chills drop up in this place. Rub chapstick all over your face. School is closed. That's the case. Oh, no. Back to bed, sleeping in. Many things
Bean.
That you could do.
Well, Taylor Bean Swift shower, for you with the
sure.
snow day.
Look, I appreciate that he's trying to make business fun.
You
but
I love it. How do
no,
you
no,
hate
no,
this?
I'm just saying, is he spending any time principaling, or is he spending all of his time writing songs for the next
How
snow
can
day?
You make this a negative? Oh.
I'm just asking.
Every
just,
principal is the man, and you hate seeing him. You hate
right.
hearing from him. This guy's actually being entertaining.
I feel like he's putting a lot of time in because he wants
be,
to be on
cares?
The Voice or something. I don't know what's happening here.
Oh, that's you think he wants to be on The Voice? You think that is Mr. Cadell's big dream?
I'm just saying he seems to be doing it more for him than for the kids. Is all I'm saying.
And what are you basing that on?
You are the absolute worst.
You're a miracle.
God bless you.
I am
Mr.
where
Cadell.
Fun goes to die. That's
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. One of the actors that I think is good in every movie he's in is Michael Pena. Love
yeah.
him. Even if the movie's not good, he's good.
But he's always good.
This movie looks great. It's called 12 Strong. We got Michael Pena just after the top of the hour.
I can't wait to find out what it was like for him to learn how to ride a horse and to have to do it convincingly on camera.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not as easy as it looks riding a horse, by the way.
I've seen Bean ride a horse. He does not do it well.
Bean's too tall for a horse.
Yeah.
I've said that for years.
Anything well, you guys. Hey, it's a 6:54 here on a Wednesday morning. What's happening, Allie?
You guys, the Grammys are not joking around.
Okay, good.
It's the 60th annual Grammy Awards coming up a couple Sundays from now on January 28th. They're back in New York City for the first time in 15 years. So it's like they said, let's pull out all the stops. We already know that some of the performers, Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Childish Gambino, Pink, Cardi B, already a pretty darn solid start.
Sure, that's impressive.
Well, they named some more performers. How about Sam Smith?
All right.
All right. Kendrick Lamar.
All right.
Okay. You mother effin' too.
Wow.
Yay! Right? This is huge. So they have just been added to the lineup, as well as, this is kind of an odd pairing, but I'm into it. Elton John is apparently going to be performing some of his past hits with some assistance from Miley Cyrus.
Oh, dear Lord.
That is an odd pairing, but...
But that's what the Grammys loves to do.
Absolutely. But you know what? Miley Cyrus has a great voice. Regardless of what you think of her, her voice is insane. So to see her with Elton John, I'm into that.
That could be good, yeah.
Yeah. Again, Grammys airing on CBS on January 28th. I think I'm more into this show than I have been in a decade just with Grammys? This lineup.
Yeah, it's a pretty good lineup. I agree. We should go.
We should go. That'll never happen. You guys, a lot of Bill Clinton impeachment movies coming out. Different series involving the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Fox News Channel is going to do an 8-episode series called Scandalous.
Really? Fox is doing something on the Clintons?
I know. Shocking. That's going to debut on January 21st. They're interviewing a ton of people involved, like Kenneth Starr, Lindsey Graham, and Monica Lewinsky's confidant, Linda Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Goodness. But if you don't watch Fox News Channel, then tune into the History Channel. They've got a 6-episode scripted drama titled The Breach, Inside the Impeachment of Bill Clinton. Maybe that's not for you.
Oh,
what about
more?
Showtime? They're putting together a series based on Clinton and Jane Patterson's novel, The President is Missing. And rumor is that a future season of FX's American Crime Story could revolve around the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal.
Huh.
That's a lot.
20 years right now. That might be, the interest, yeah.
Well, then we should celebrate that.
Right?
Who's with me?
One of those has to be good, I would guess.
Yeah. Fox News Channel, History Channel, Showtime, and possibly FX's American Crime Story.
I would go to Showtime or FX.
Not Fox News Channel?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I don't know if you're into the Bitcoin, but I've got pretty good news for you if you enjoy Bitcoin and blowies. What?
I'm sorry.
Dennis Hoff, owner and operator of the Bunny Ranch, said they're working on accepting Bitcoin as payment for their lady's services.
You are the coolest guy I have ever met.
Hoff says that the Bunny Ranch has a very powerful, wealthy clientele. And accepting that cryptocurrency would alleviate the need for those clients to walk in with huge bags of cash. What's happening out there that people are walking in with huge bags of cash?
Are you not allowed to use credit cards at the Bunny Ranch?
I thought about that. Then I thought, do you want your statement going home to your wife? Saying the Bunny Ranch?
True. Yeah,
so you're probably paying cash.
Okay.
But also, walking in with huge bags of cash. How long you staying, sir? How much you getting?
That does seem like a lot.
What is going on out at the Bunny Ranch? Speaking of, we should go.
To the Bunny Ranch?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Where'd we go, Bean? We tried to take somebody to one of those places.
It might have been the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah, I think it was.
Really? I think it was. We had, do I remember correctly, that we had an intern who was a virgin?
Yes,
God.
Yep.
And we thought that would be...
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Look, we try and help our coworkers.
Yeah, you do.
We care.
Givers. I've said that for years as well. Smell it. Oh, dear. Some birthdays for you. Former First Lady Michelle Obama, Jim Carrey, Betty White, Steve Harvey, Calvin Harris, Tiesto, Little John, Zooey Deschanel, Kid Rock, James Earl Jones, and Maury Povich. And that's what's happening.
Hooking you up with tickets to go see Queens of the Stone Age at the Forum February 17th and qualify to see them in a great festival called Boston Calling over Memorial Day weekend. Your chance to win coming up in minutes on K-Rock.
Very excited about this movie coming out Friday. It's called 12 Strong.
19 men attacked our country. The 12 of you will be the first ones to fight back.
If we don't take that city, World Trade Center is just the beginning.
You show me exactly where we're going.
Well, what are the mountains? We take horses.
All right, who's ridden before? Anyone?
Summer camp when I was 9.
Spring break, but I was pretty hammered.
It's good news.
And as you said moments ago, Michael Peña is great in everything. And what a ride he's been on in the last few years with Fury and Ant-Man and The Martian and so many more. And he's one of the stars of 12 Strong opening Friday. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It is our pleasure. So 12 Strong is a story that very few people knew about until many, many years after 9/11, right?
Yeah, it was a declassified story. You know, these guys go on the cover and just, you know, go into some remote place like they, you know, like you, we just heard right now, 12 guys going into Afghanistan, taking over a city. And, it, you know, it's Operation Hush Hush. something that I never heard about. And then when I read the log line, I couldn't believe that it was, you know, really going to be a movie. And then when I read the script, I couldn't believe the stuff that they were doing.
Yeah.
So this is before any of the other military was able to get there. They just, we basically just sent 12 people in and said, good
luck.
I
mean, but it wasn't that easy. No, it was, you know, these guys, well, the CIA is the first one that went in. You know, there's a, they're the, you know, intelligence, you know, so they gather all the data. I mean, which is a ballsy move in itself. But then, you know, these guys came in, and you have to understand that these guys are like Green Berets. You know, they're like elite soldiers that are able to, you know, think by themselves. They could all be captains on their own. And, you know, it's literally like a group of, like, American ninjas going in and taking over a city.
Michael, I have to ask this question, and I don't mean this in a political way, but how was the decision made so quickly after 9/11 to go into Afghanistan, a country that didn't have anything to do with the attack? I'm confused by that.
Well, I don't think it's political. I mean, I think it's where they, you know, this guy that was from the Northern Alliance got assassinated 2 weeks before the, you know, before 9/11 happened, and then all mayhem ensued, and then there was other reports of, like, the World Trade Center being bombed. I don't know if you remember, like, you know, on the bottom floor by the trucks, and that was by the Taliban, by Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that was much earlier, yeah.
Yeah, that was much earlier. Mm-hmm. So there was, that was a hot spot for it, right? And there, I think there was, like, three... I mean, this is, you know, what I'm told, but this is like, there's like three events leading up to this thing.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Where they kept saying, well, these guys are taking responsibility for it. These guys are taking responsibility for it. And then, you know, finally that's when they, you know, they had to go in because it was a huge attack on American soil.
Yeah. You got to put an American boot in their ass. I get it. All right. Yeah. So you're playing Sergeant First Class Sam Diller, who's a real guy. Now, is he somebody you were able to talk to about his experiences in this, this story?
No. I mean, they actually changed his name because he was still, in active duty. And you know, that's what they do. Actually, you know what? I don't know, but it's something to along those lines. I can't wait for him to see the movie and find out he's Latin.
You think you'll get a call at some point from him going, hey, nice work.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be like, wait a minute.
All right, we have to ask because it's what a great cast, by the way. Chris Hemsworth and Michael Shannon and so many others. Our friend Rob Riggle is in the movie.
Trevante Rose, you know, Austin right. Stoll, Austin did, Ebert. Yep.
Did any of you guys have any kind of experience riding a horse?
You know, actually, a bunch of them did, man. You know, Navid did, and so did Chris Hemsworth. Of course, Chris is going to show up the most prepared.
You said a bunch of them did, not you?
Yeah. No, I mean, I did a couple times. I mean, I rode horses a couple times, maybe like three or four times, you know, for movies and stuff, and then a little bit when I was a kid. But, you know, we were told to just trot. And so trotting for me has never been great. I always either go slow or like, you know, go into like a gallop, and you know, gallop is basically when it's going up and down and up and down, up and down, and then you can time it, you know, with the horse.
Trotting is painful.
Mm-hmm. It's just going bump, 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 and you're supposed to somehow time it. And my character, unfortunately, wasn't supposed to be able to time it very well. So he's like, okay, can we do it again? Because the guy's from, I think he's from Sweden, the director. From Norway, sorry. And I was like, dude, why do we got to do it again? Why can't I do it? Because he's bad at riding, you know, he's bad. I'm like, oh, so I got to do it. And then, great. And it wasn't fun. I got off the horse, like, you know, bow-legged.
Sure, yeah, sure. Was there one time where the horse just took off and you just had to hang on for dear life?
Yeah, did you read that somewhere?
I did.
You did? Oh, man, I didn't know, but, like, my horse, Scratchy, I would kick him, and he wouldn't do anything. And I really had to kick him hard, which I felt bad because, you know, I normally wouldn't have to do that.
Right, of course.
And then so there was a scene when they, you know, when right after we meet, they give us the horses and we're supposed to go off into the mountains or whatever. You know, the stunt guys, they, you know, because they, of course, you know, they want to do it as fast as possible.
Right.
They just took off, and they're like, you know, crazy, crazy horsemen. And then, you know, Scratchy, before I could even hit him, you know, like, he was off to the races.
Oh, no.
He became, Yeah, he became Seabiscuit all of a sudden. and I was trying to tell this horse, we're in the wrong movie, buddy.
Did you ever think maybe we could switch out Scratchy?
No, I asked if we could switch out Scratchy, but then it would mess up with the continuity.
And I said, well, all what, right, you know, yeah.
Yeah, what if we, what, you know, and then I said, what if we switch him up with the other guy? You know, they won't notice, and like, or put it in the movie. And nobody wanted to give up their horse.
I feel like gotcha. Scratchy's a bad name for a horse.
Yeah.
Was there also an Itchy?
Yeah, Scratchy and Itchy. I think, you know what, Kenny Sheard, who was in the movie, he's an actual Navy SEAL. He's the one who had it the worst, I think, with his horse. Because him and his horse, for some reason, didn't get along.
Oh, no.
And he was talking to it, like, quietly, like, I hate you, buddy. you know, and like, whispering all these, like, crazy things to him. And we, hey, Kenny, we're, you know, you, the horse can't understand you. And then he looks at us, he's like, oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can.
The movie is called 12 Strong. It's a previously untold story of American heroes who go and do what they have to do. And I imagine this is one of those kind of secret missions that had it failed and these guys would have been lost, like we never would have heard about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, like, I wonder if there's any other stories like this where, I mean, they would fail and then nobody heard about them. But thank God that, you know, this one was classified and they succeeded.
Yep, it looks like a fantastic movie. 12 Strong, it's called, you guys. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Michael Pena, we're big fans of yours. It's been a lot of fun to have you on the show. We appreciate it, sir.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Kevin, you've watched a lot of Amazing Race in your day.
Yes.
Does Phil Kogan ever have to run?
No. No, he doesn't.
He must love watching what he puts his contestants
yep.
through. That.
He just has to go there and just be at the finish line and just wait for him.
Yeah. Amazing Race is back right now into its 30th season. Phil joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we got an email from what sounds like a very nice listener named Susan, who's on the phone. She's been a longtime listener of the show, and she was calling to share with us that she recently got her first tattoo, and she wanted to tell us all about it, and we thought we'd give her the opportunity to do that on the air because it's a fascinating story. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much for emailing us. And you say in your email that you've been listening to us for a really long time. You follow us all on social media, and we really appreciate both of those things.
Yes, and same with the B Team. I listen to them.
Wow.
Yes, I love the show. I love, you know, the podcast. Love you, Allie. Hi.
Hi, Susan.
Why did you want to share with us the story of your first tattoo, though, Susan?
Because you guys are quirky and interesting, so I figured you'd kind of get a kick out of the tattoo that I decided to get.
Well, here's one of the things that I enjoy about it is that it does look like it was drawn by a second grader. I sort of like that look. Do you want to explain to people, or Bean, should you explain to people what the tattoo
is? Oh, no. Let's let Susan, because okay. there's deep psychological problems with Susan that we need to get into. But let's hear about the tattoo first.
Not at all. No, there are no deep psychological
problems. We'll be the decider on that one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You want to play that game, Candy Boy?
All right. What's the tattoo?
Okay. So it is on my right foot. It's about the size of maybe, I don't know, a little bit bigger than a silver dollar.
Okay.
But it is a T-Rex doing a unicorn.
A T-Rex doing a unicorn.
Doing a unicorn.
And you wrote in your email you've been hoping to get this for how long?
No, I've been wanting to get this for probably about, I want to say, 8.5-9 years.
Oh, my gosh. What's the backstory of a T-Rex doing a unicorn from the back?
I think it's funny. I mean, you got to think about the tail, so, you know.
I mean, it is funny.
Push them out of the way, you know.
But so isn't it the kind of most logic thing
to have the T-Rex be the dominant?
Isn't it kind of odd, though, that it wasn't like a passing thing that you found funny? Hey, that's funny, and then you forget about it and move on with your life. You stuck with that for 8.5-9 years.
Oh, I've been sticking with T-Rexes and unicorns not doing each other, but I've been interested in such topics since I was a little kid. So I was like, let's mash them together and have some fun.
Okay, so this is your first tattoo, Susan. So you think of the T-Rex mounting the unicorn, and then you laugh to yourself, and then a year later it's still funny, and then 2 years go by, and then 5 years go by, and then 8 years go by, and in all of that time, why didn't you go get this tattoo then?
Because first of all, I'm afraid of needles, and that's something that's never going to change,
okay,
no matter what.
Right.
But I was just like, you know what? I'm 36. Let's new year. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
And you never came up with any other image that you thought you might want to get instead of that?
Well, back when I was 18, my best friend and I were going to get our lower back done with the typical flower.
Sure.
And our initials.
Or as we call it, target practice.
And hi, Julie. But, and she went through with it. I did not.
Oh. Now, Kevin made the remark that it looks like a second grader drew the T-Rex doing the unicorn from behind. Who drew this? Did you do it? Or did you say to the tattoo artist, this is what I want, and then they drew it freehand?
Well, what I did was I said, hey, I was like, this is the unicorn that I want. Mm-hmm. This is the T-Rex I want. Slap them together and get it down into the small size. Mm-hmm. And basically, so it was two separate outlines, and then I just let the artist have free range.
And by artist, you mean second grader.
All right. Before we go, Susan, because we're almost out of time, you're very kind to write and to come on the air with us, but what kind of reaction are you getting from friends and family when they see your tattoo?
Well, lately, it's only been my close friends and my family, and they're looking at it like, really?
Right.
Okay.
That's our point, is that it does seem like it means something to you, and it is sort of funny at first glance, but probably not as funny to your friends and family as it is to you.
Oh, no. They think it's hilarious.
They do.
They're just like, okay, all right, it's Susan.
They've
like,
come to know you.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, it's Kevin, you know? Like
how dare you?
No, it makes sense. Okay.
We did tweet out a photo on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, by the way, if you want to see this picture of Susan's tattoo. Would you say this is better or worse than Beer Mug's beer mug tattoo, Kevin?
This is better. This is better by far because it's funnier.
Well, that's the point.
Yes.
And that's the thing that, you know, I want to put out there is just have fun. And live your life, enjoy it. And
does it look fun for the unicorn?
Are you kidding? She's having a great time.
Yeah, how do you know, Bean?
Thank you for talking to us, Susan. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening, okay?
Thank you. I will continue, and I can't wait to hear this podcast.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now, do you think there are a lot of our listeners like Susan who got a tattoo that they think is charming and hilarious and awesome and wonderful, and they run into the same kind of reaction that we had to Susan's tattoo, which is, really?
I would think so, yeah. I would think a lot of people have that, where they have what they consider a funny tattoo, and maybe their friends don't laugh at it quite as much as they do, and they really don't get it. Like, how do you not think this is funny?
Yeah.
Look how awesome this tattoo is. Why aren't you laughing?
Right.
That's who we're looking for right now.
So the topic is, why aren't you laughing?
That could be the topic on this show every day. So you're like Susan. You thought it was a great idea. Not everybody's on board with your tattoo. We want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
And just ahead of Weezer, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Allie, who is calling us from Van Nuys. We're talking about tattoos that you find hilarious, and perhaps not everyone else does. Hi, Allie.
Hey, guys. Long, long time listener.
Thank you.
I basically told my artist that as long as it was a penguin, he could do whatever he want, and he decided that I needed a garden gnome penguin.
So you went in and you said, look, I only have one thing that I am going to demand, and that's a penguin. Mm-hmm. So go crazy.
Yep. This is actually 4 of 6 penguins that I have.
Oh, my God. 4 of 6.
But the only garden gnome penguin.
The only garden gnome. The other one is a drunk one that's standing on an iceberg.
Sure.
I mean, I feel like we might.
Don't like them.
I feel like we might need some pictures of your tattoos,
Allie.
Absolutely. I think so, too.
I will definitely be sending some in.
Excellent.
Do you think, Allie, that you're done with penguin tattoos? Will you ever get another?
Oh, I can answer that for her. No.
I'm getting another one in June when I go back up to Portland, and it's going to be a little stripper penguin.
Yes.
God bless you, Allie.
You're really our girl. You're doing good work.
We love you. We'll take more calls next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Listener Susan, we just spoke with on the air a few minutes ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, is very proud of her new tattoo of a T-Rex mounting a unicorn.
I mean, come on, it is. She's probably the only one with that.
Charlie is.
I would assume.
I didn't have the nerve to ask her whether she thought unicorns are real. I suspect she might. But that's the topic on the table. We're talking about you think your tattoo is hilarious. Maybe other people who see it don't agree. For instance, Brittany writes in. She got a sharktopus tattoo. Kevin, if you remember back in the day.
Sharktopus, okay.
Although I think it's hilarious and the story of it all happening is hilarious, my family doesn't find it as amusing. I guess we don't have the same sense of humor. Let's see if that's the case with our man William. He's on line four up next on in Gardena, 1-800-520-1067 if you want to join the conversation. Hey, William.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's the tattoo that you have?
So I have a giant dragon spitting fire on my back.
A giant dragon spitting fire. Is that for Game of Thrones?
No, it's just, that's all it is. It's text on my bag that says a giant dragon spitting fire.
Oh, it's okay. Text.
Oh, it's not an actual dragon spitting
it's not
fire.
A picture, it's just the words?
Just the words. So then people have the same reaction you guys do. Wow, it's just a giant dragon spitting fire. But no, it's the whole text.
But why, William?
Because I wanted people to think I have a full back sleeve, a whole back, tattoo. Not really a sleeve, it's on my arm, but I had a full back tattoo, but it's not.
Okay, all right. So the whole reason you had it is so that you can tell people you have a giant dragon spitting fire on their back, and then they're all impressed and amazed, and then you take your shirt off, and it's just a few words?
Yes.
Do they laugh uncontrollably?
I don't hate it. I don't.
Really,
hate
Allie?
It.
You're going to support this?
If I'm talking to William and he's like, yeah, I got a whole back, giant dragon spitting fire, I'd be like, holy crap, let me see.
Let's see it, right?
And then I see just those words, giant dragon spitting fire. That's funny.
You're in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, William's in.
How about your family, William?
Oh, well, my mom, she's all right with it,
Sure.
I don't have a dad.
Oh. Oh, way to go, Kevin. Poor William.
Hey, very painful for William. Sorry for the call, sir.
I love William.
Let's try Amy in Brea, please. She's been holding for a while on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Amy, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you, Amy.
Oh, thank you. Now, you don't have any mom or dad issues that we need to stay away from, do you?
It's actually not me. It's my friend that I grew up with. It's a straight he, has a banana, and coming out of it is a penis on his thigh.
On his thigh?
On his thigh.
Now,
on his thigh.
Why? Do you know why?
From what I know, our friend got a makeshift tattoo gun on Amazon, and it was a drunken night, and he said, screw it, do whatever you want.
That's
and
the
so
best
he
way.
Asked him to do that, and a Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, wow.
I want to party with your friend.
This is awesome.
Keep the pictures out. It's awesome.
Please do.
Yes. Please Thank do. You, Amy. Tag us in that. We appreciate it. All right. Can we do one more? Make it Brandon real quick. Pasadena Line 7 up next.
Hey, Brandon.
How's it going?
Good. We're talking to a lot of damaged people. Are you one of them?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, you are. All right. What do you got?
I got a tattoo of a penis and balls cartoon-like with... holding a briefcase with a suit on and glasses.
What?
And where is it on your body?
It's a tram stamp location.
Okay. Brandon!
Is this something you came up with or something somebody just forced upon you when you were asleep?
No, it was all me.
What do you think that's about?
Were you drunk?
No, not drunk enough.
Not drunk.
Why do you have a penis wearing a suit and holding a briefcase on your back?
It was funny at the time.
Boy, you don't find it funny anymore?
Well, I do, but it's awkward, like family pool functions and things like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Not quite the shape I used to be in. It's changed shape.
But at least you have a dad.
Chance. Yeah. Do you have a dad, Brandon?
I do have a dad.
You win.
Still alive.
Okay, good. You win.
But I just see utter disappointment in his face every time I take my shirt off.
Oh, that hurts.
All right. Well, good luck. Thanks for calling.
Orlando Sees Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Ducks host the Kings at Honda Center this Friday night. We got tickets you can win in 5 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 5 minutes from right now. First, what's happening, Allie?
We all love Andrew W.K.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
Yep.
Well, I don't know if we love him as much as Twitter user Luke Mitchell. This was his tweet yesterday. This happened in England. Casually driving down the M4, an Andrew WK new single comes on, and now I have a speeding ticket. Totally worth it. So Andrew WK responds with, "The price of partying." And one of the DJs that was playing the song responds with, "Can you put a price on partying?" To which the motorist says, "You can. 100 pounds, apparently." Andrew WK then says, "Luke, I would like to pay this speeding ticket for you. I was responsible for the sonic party power that caused you to speed. I'll direct message you and get your information. Please, let me do this for you."
He's a funny guy, and he means it, too.
He absolutely means it.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And then who gets involved but the Thames Valley Police? And I have to give him credit. They said, "You may, quote, want fun and to, quote, party hard, but we want you to drive safe. Drive safely, dudes, and party on." Respect, right? So then a ticket company gets involved. "We'd like to give you tickets to one of his upcoming shows," blah, blah, blah. And then the man, Luke, responded, "Thank you so much. I've asked Andrew WK to donate the money to a far more worthy cause than myself. And in return, he offered me the chance to see him at a place called Wedgwood Rooms already." So
that's pretty cool.
How great is that whole thing?
Top to bottom, everybody was
top
great.
Top to bottom, from the guy that got the ticket, to the cops in that town, to the DJs, yep, and of course, Andrew WK. That is...
So speed is what we're saying.
I don't think we're saying
speed
that.
Speed works, and you'll get concert tickets.
I think it sounds like great news. Great news.
We're not ready for that at all.
No. You want to try it again?
I do not.
One more.
Great news. God damn it.
Okay, I have so many questions about this story. If you want to own a piece of rock and roll history, here's your chance. A Dixie cup used by Elvis Presley back in 1956 has hit the auction block.
Oh, dear Lord.
Apparently, it was used right before show in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when he was just 21 years old. A woman, June, took it and kept it in a special box for safekeeping. It's now up for grabs on eBay. And she wants $1,000, and as of right now, the bidding's up at $860. But
for a Dixie cup.
For a Dixie cup that she says was used by Elvis.
Yep. I don't know why that's worth anything.
Yep. A, why it's worth anything, and B...
How do you know?
How do you know? And June could just be like, "I got an old-ass Dixie cup. Let me throw this on eBay." What's happening with these people?
I don't know. She'll probably get the $1,000, though, won't
she? She absolutely will.
Yep.
Why the yup?
Yep.
Auctioneer.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, goodness gracious. I just found that all very odd. So Ellen Pompeo is trending now on Twitter, and I of course, got nervous.
Sure.
What happened? Well, this is great news if you're Ellen Pompeo. She has signed a new deal to remain with the ABC medical drama Grey's Anatomy for at least two more seasons.
Hasn't that been on for like...
14 seasons, Kevin.
Wow.
14 seasons. But here's where this got me. According to Deadline, Pompeo will make upwards of $550,000 per episode, making her the highest paid actress on television.
Good for her.
The Hollywood Reporter says, no, she'll be making $575,000 an episode, plus a signing bonus, two full back-end equity points on the show, totaling $20 million.
Wow.
She is also asked to be a producer, so she's going to become a producer starting midway through the season and serve as co-executive producer on the upcoming untitled Grey's Anatomy spinoff. But how's this for a negotiation? So according to her, she went to Shonda Rhimes and said, "You're moving to Netflix. If you want the show to go down, I'm cool with that. But if you want it to continue, I need to be incentivized. I need to feel empowered and to feel ownership for this show." To which Shonda Rhimes responded, "I absolutely want to keep the show going. It's the mothership. So let's find a way to make you happy. What do you want?"
Wow.
What?
In what world does that happen?
In a world where two strong, powerful women know their worth.
Wow, that's
in
crazy.
In that world. That is fantastic.
Good for her.
Ellen Pompeo, 2020. Who's with me?
Well, having said all of that, and I don't disagree with a word of it, but mm-hmm. Do you watch Grey's Anatomy anymore?
Grey's is the only Shonda Rhimes show I don't watch. And I never got into it, which is weird.
I got into it for a long time.
Yeah.
I did too. I watched several seasons of it.
Yeah, towards the beginning, I was into it. But then McSteamy died.
I think it still does really well, though.
Oh,
I think so.
Does, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, gangbusters.
Good for her.
Good for you. How condescending was that? Good for you.
I'm not positive.
I did not love it. Hey, Prince is going to be back in Minneapolis for a concert.
I'm sorry. I got bad news for you, Allie. He won't be able to make it.
I don't know. RollingStone.com says that footage of Prince performing will be projected on a huge screen backed up by a live orchestra. That could actually be really well done, if done correctly.
I guess now that you say that, I'm surprised that they're not incorporating Prince into the halftime at the Super Bowl since it's in Minnesota.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, that is a good point. Could be a special guest. Huh? Right? Timberlake? Think about it. Prince live on the big screen will happen on April 21st at the Target Center, which is also the second anniversary of his death. But that could be really beautiful. Him up there playing with a live orchestra.
Sure.
I think I'm into it. I think I say yes.
Allie will allow it.
Let me know how that is.
If you want to let the people in Minnesota know,
okay,
that would be great.
Get a message to them.
Some birthdays for you. Maury Povich, James Earl Jones, Zoe Deschanel, Tiesto, Calvin Harris, Steve Harvey, Betty White, Jim Carrey, and former First Lady Michelle Obama. And that's what's happening.
You can go to AnaheimDucks.com or call 877-WILD-WING to get this amazing offer from the Ducks. It's the Beer Pack, presented by K-Rock, for two tickets, two beers, and two hot dogs, starting at just $80. Or you can win all that right now if you give us a call. We're looking for Ducks fans at 1-800-520-1067 for tickets this Friday night versus the Kings at Honda Center. Call now. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. It's hockey times, you guys.
Yes, it is.
Anaheim Ducks versus Los Angeles Kings at Honda Center this Friday night, plus two hot dogs and two beers. What's the game called this time around?
What the Duck?
You play What the Duck to see them drop the puck. What the Duck? What the Duck? Just name the famous duck and try not to really suck. What the Duck? What the Duck? Come on and try your luck. It's time for What the Duck? What the Duck? What the Duck? What the Duck?
Okay.
What the Duck?
Oh, thank you, Omar.
What the Duck?
Got it.
Duck.
Knowing Omar, I'm glad and grateful for some of the words he didn't rhyme with duck that time around. All right, so we have contestants on the line. Kevin, you're going to be asking questions about what?
Famous ducks.
Oh, famous ducks.
Famous ducks. Okay. That's what we're going to be.
Thank you very much. All right, if you get it right, you go into the drawing, and one person will win the tickets for Friday night.
So start with Amanda in Fountain Valley. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. This cartoon character made his debut in 1934 and wears a sailor suit, but never wears pants except when swimming.
Oh, that's Donald Duck.
That is Donald Duck. Nicely done. Hold on, please. Let's go to Jim in El Monte. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Jim, our phone screener Chip says that you are high this morning. Is that true?
Little bit.
All right. Well, good luck, my friend.
This duck was originally voiced by Gilbert Gottfried, quacking out this brand of insurance since 1999.
Geico? The Geico duck?
The Geico duck.
Oh, damn. Affleck,
yes.
See what marijuana will do to you kids?
All right. Let's go to Robert in Fullerton. Hi, Robert.
Good morning.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Who's the superheroic alter ego of the ordinary suburbanite named Drake Mallard? He puts on an oversized hat, a cape, and a mask, and fights crime.
Who's Darkwing Duck?
What the Duck?
Nicely done.
I love that he answered the form of a question as well. Robert, hang on, you are in the drawing.
Justin in La Mirada, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
This novelty song was performed by Rick Dees and somehow became a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 for 1 week in October 1976. We have an audio clue.
Party the other night. Ladies would treat me right.
And that is...
What's that called, Justin?
Oh, man. To be honest, not sure. I'm going to say AC/DC.
Okay.
All right. It's called Disco Duck. That's the name of it, Disco Duck.
You know that famous duck AC/DC, you guys? Thank you for playing this,
I'm not positive he was calling for the same contest.
It might have been. Got a wires crossed or something.
Jason in Ventura, hi.
Hey.
Are you ready?
Yeah, most I can be.
All right. Widely panned by critics, receiving 15% on Rotten Tomatoes, this 1986 film stars Leah Thompson and Tim Robbins. It received 7 Golden Raspy Awards, taking home 4.
Or Raspberry.
Raspberry. Oh.
What's that movie?
That's before my time. Let's see.
Has Duck in the Answer.
Duck in the Answer.
Okay. All right.
I got 0.
No worries.
We were looking for AC/DC.
No, we were looking for Howard the Duck.
Oh, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, yeah.
Right. All right. So far, Robert's in the drawing. Amanda's in the drawing, too, trying to give away these tickets for Ducks Kings for Friday night. Who's next?
Greg T. from Tustin. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
This look became popular on social media. Not sure if it's all about the things being added to the ladies' lips to make them look plumper, or if you're just making a kiss face. This look is called...
the duck face.
Yes. We were going to take duck lips or duck face. Congratulations. Hold on.
One more.
Let's go to Greg G. in Los Angeles. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. These popular Disney characters are identical triplets and Donald Duck's nephews.
Shit. Daisy? I have no idea. What's a duck?
Right?
I mean, let's let him work through it.
Daisy?
I want to hear who else he has.
All right, so you got Daisy and who else?
Okay, who else, Greg?
You're killing me.
Okay.
I'm a Kings fan anyway.
Same. Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Greg. But
oh,
you had to
now
say
you got
me.
Okay. All right, so Greg T., Robert, Amanda, one will win tickets for Friday night as the Ducks host the Kings at Honda Center. Again, you can get your tickets at AnaheimDucks.com for the same K-Rock dealer. Call 877-WILD-WING. Who are our winners, please? Who is our winner, please? Sorry.
Amanda is the winner.
Amanda, yeah! Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the game. Thanks for playing.
What the duck? What the duck? What the duck?
Phil Kogan is the host of The Amazing Race, now in its 30th season, ladies and gentlemen. Its 30th season.
That's crazy.
Phil, you have any trouble getting here this morning to K-Rock?
No, but I'm just so pleased to see Kevin up off the floor.
I sit on the floor,
Yeah, well, no, it's just I walk in. I don't know where you are. I figure I'm in the studio all by myself.
No, I was making sweet Twitter magic.
And they're in the corner.
No.
And they're in the corner with some nuts and raisins and your glasses and a whole bunch of notes right. And a yoga mat.
Uh-huh.
There you are.
There I am.
Yeah.
It's his office.
When people come into the studio, Kevin is sitting there like a little kid playing blocks on a mat.
He's I love it.
Wearing shorts and drinking hot chocolate. And people are like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, Phil, always so much to catch up with you about season 30. How does that sound to you? Insane?
Historic. That's what it sounds like. It sounds historic. And I said it many times in the opening of this season because it is. It's 30 seasons.
I mean, it really is, yeah.
Insane.
It is crazy. And so we went back to New York City because mm-hmm. we started in New York City season one, 2001. We shot our first show in the winter, like the beginning of 2001.
This time you're like, well, let's not do it in the winter.
No. This time we went back. It was summertime and we were in Washington Square Park.
Right.
And Washington Square Park... iconic place, and we invited our fans out, that's one of the big changes that's taken place since we first started. Just the idea that we can reach out to, you're talking about Twitter, and just the idea that we can connect with our fans, and we say to them, hey, come on down and send these teams off.
So it was packed.
Yeah. It was packed.
Yeah.
We had a really great energy.
Well, your contestants used to be able to go through the airport and not be mobbed, too, because people didn't know they were on The Amazing Race. But now people figure out that's what's happening when they see you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anybody runs through an airport now with a bag of people like, yeah, there must be an Amazing Race.
So where is 30 seasons in the history of television? I mean, are we getting near some sort of a record for a reality show? Or I don't know what category you
consider. I think Survivor might actually have the record. I mean, I think they're up to like season 34 or 5. Or somewhere around there.
Wow,
so
that's crazy.
I think they're actually ahead of us. They started a little before us, and but yeah, we're definitely up there. I think
you have such a great formula, though, and you get great contestants. And it's so I always watch that show, and I always think I would be great at that show. But then you have to add to the fact that you're traveling the world, that you're doing it, and you're probably sleep deprived, and you're nervous, and there's cameras, and they start arguing immediately, especially the goat. What's the goat?
The goat yoga team?
Oh my God!
Yeah,
what's up?
That was
them?
Uncomfortable to watch, Phil.
I was happy to see them go.
I was. Well, two lovely women who decided that they
hated each other.
That when you do yoga, why not do it with a goat?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now that might sound weird because there's no connection, and really, when you see it, there's still no connection.
Well, according to them, and look, don't knock it till you've tried it, but according to them, there's a connection with the goat, and then the goat walking on you, I guess. But it does beg the question, and I did ask them and didn't get really a satisfactory answer. Goats make like little pebbles.
Yes, they do.
And I'm thinking...
Constantly.
Yeah, constant pebbles like that are... And I'm thinking, how does that work? It's like you're doing a yoga pose, and as you're doing downward facing dog, there's a goat on your back.
You're getting rained on with pebbles. That sounds terrible.
But look, I don't want to knock it. No,
I'll knock it. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
wait, I know you can't say that, but it's absurd.
I saw some goats out in the room out there. Are you guys going to try?
I certainly would.
Love a goat.
Come on. You've got a yoga mat.
We actually did. Bean had a goat at one point, and he brought it into the studio, and there's a strict no animal policy here in the studio, and just pebbles everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Cashmere, goat,
And they came in, and they said, hey, what's happening here? You have a goat in here. We just straight lied to their face. We're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
We don't
about.
Know what you're talking about. No, but no, there's no goats here.
That's how you do it.
This season is all about people from various backgrounds who are sort of the best of the best in their chosen field. So we have an Indy 500 winner. We have Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eater, 72 hot dogs in 10 minutes. We have Cedric and Sean. So they're two NBA stars.
Cedric Ceballos, who played with the Lakers for a long time.
Yeah. Well,
and Sean Marion. Yeah.
I mean, those are two legendary players.
Sure.
Can you imagine these poor guys? They come on Amazing Race.
Yeah.
They're in New York City. They're racing around the world, and then they get on the plane, and they're going to Iceland.
Yeah.
And they have to get into an economy seat.
Yep.
No way.
It's like,
can you imagine?
I don't know about this.
This may be a bad idea.
This might be the worst thing for an NBA superstar.
And they're also super competitive because they had to have been to be NBA stars, and then, but it doesn't necessarily translate.
No, it doesn't necessarily translate. And that's the thing about race. Shoot 12 shows, 21 days. We've had professional athletes before. There's not a direct correlation between being a professional athlete and doing well on Amazing Race because they're good at a certain type of physical activity, or there may be a good hockey player or a basketball player, but when you go out on Amazing Race, you find yourself doing the most bizarre things. Like case in point, last week when we had the frite race, the French fries were actually invented in Belgium, so we had the teams running big bags of French fries around Grot Market, which is this historic market in Antwerp, Belgium. And all of a sudden, you got this huge NBA basketball player leaning over onto a tiny dolly with 10 bags of French fries running around a course. I mean, the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen in your life. And, it's not the NBA.
Yeah. No, it isn't at all.
And
no.
So much of it is mental.
Yeah.
That component plays such a big part.
Absolutely. The mental part of it and dealing with sleep deprivation and then, also luck. So much luck. Do you get on the right flight or not? Or do you make the right choice or the right cab drive? Every time you get in the cab, it's like you're rolling the dice.
So bad.
Yeah.
Have you seen, are there altercations? Do teams become enemies with other teams sometimes and it gets real, real chippy out there, Phil?
Well, if it gets chippy, then we're there with our cameras filming it because we like chippy. Sure, it gets chippy.
Because you have a certain amount of respect for all your competitors, but let's face it, you want to beat them, and they tick you off.
Early in the game, so far there's only been two episodes, they're like, hey, where do we park? And the other team's telling
them, oh, it's so nice to race with you. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. Yes. There's less threat in the beginning. It's much more about, I said at the beginning, the world is waiting for you. It's much more about, wow, we're on the Amazing Race. This is so great. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. And then as the teams get eliminated and there are less and less teams, and then a U-turn comes up, and then the teams go, woo, we got $1 million on the line. And it's like, woo, it was really fun getting to know you a few days ago, but now I'm, That money is mine, and I want it.
This is the voice of our friend Phil Kogan on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of The Amazing Race, which airs Wednesday nights at 8. Another new episode tonight. More with Phil right after this on K-Rock.
I just need to puke. I don't want to.
I'm with you. You're okay, honey.
A couple minutes after we got onto the mat, we just took a drink of Black Death, and I was like, oh, no, it's the Black Death. This race is no walk in the park. I don't care what your background is. This race is not easy.
Who thinks the race is easy?
Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
If you've watched 1 second of the show, you know it's difficult.
Oh, there's only been 29 seasons. I'm not quite sure yet.
Do you get contestants who haven't seen it?
Really. Yeah, well, actually, Cedric and Sean, you know, our NBA players.
Right.
So Cedric and Sean. Sean was not really aware of Amazing Race before Amazing Race.
Okay.
But Cedric and his family are huge day one, season one Amazing Race fans, you know, and he was like, dude, what planet have you been on?
Right.
Like, you don't know about this. And then once Sean saw it,
Cedric mentioned that several times. He's like, my kids are watching and I have to try this.
Aww. Yeah. He is like the biggest fan this season on Amazing Race. There's no doubt about it.
That is the voice of the host of The Amazing Race, our friend Phil Kogan, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, are you still a foreigner, or are you an American now, Phil?
How do you define that? What, who's called you?
We've got some ICE agents in the hallway.
Yeah. No. Listen, I'm very nervous about immigration questions now, you know, these days.
Well,
you've
lived here for a long time.
It's the greatest country.
Now. Loving America.
I'm here
help,
to
man.
Make America great again.
Doesn't make you a citizen.
I love it so much. My country is not a nice place. I don't know how I would describe it. Perhaps like the president does. I don't know.
Do you still hold a New Zealand passport? I guess is my question.
I do. Okay. And I'll tell you why. It's a very good passport to have.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, because. Everyone loves the
Kiwis?
You need less visas with a New Zealand passport than you do than a U.S. passport. Yeah.
Oh,
so there are certain passports in the world that give you more access to more countries, and it's less of a hassle traveling with certain passports.
That
like a Swiss passport is a very good one, an Australian, New Zealand.
How many passports do you have?
Well, I operate with two at a time.
Okay.
Because one is always out getting visas or being processed. I need to have a backup because I've always got to be able to travel. And then, you know, I've got an operating one. So I kind of shuttle them back and forth.
Are either of those fake?
I do have a Conch Republic fake passport because I went down there and had a little too much to drink once and then somehow ended up with a Conch Republic passport. I'm like, how did I end up with this? I guess I got sworn in at some point along the way.
Well, the reason
I
asked,
with this thing in my pocket.
Oh,
I'm like,
there's got to be video of this.
Oh, that's boy. Awesome.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
The reason I ask is because even though you're the host of the show and it's your job and you have to get to all these places where the show is filmed, you still are just a citizen of the world who has to go through the channels like the rest of us do. So you got to have a passport. You got to be able to travel freely, right?
But don't you think he's got like advanced people that are rolling out the red carpet for him?
No.
Yeah, they're there and they're running stuff through, and then Phil just comes
to show up
comes
at
in
the
on
checkpoint
a horse
with his passport and show it.
I don't know
You're
why he's on
absolutely
a horse.
Right. And one time I turned up in Ukraine, and I was told that as a New Zealander I did not need to have a visa to go to Ukraine.
Okay.
So I turn up. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm there with all the crew. And everybody with an American passport, and we have, like, look, we're like the United Nations, our crew. They're from Israel, they're from South Africa, they're from all over the world. Anyway, everybody goes through, and I get stuck, and they take me to the other side of the airport, and they go, you know, sir, we're so sorry to tell you, but you need a
cavity
visa.
Search.
I'm like, yeah, cavity search. That's a wake-up call. And I go, no thanks on the cavity search. They were offering it to me.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. And I said, no, thank you. Anyway, I get held up. Then they take me to a room, and they leave me in the room overnight.
What?
And
oh,
I slept on some plastic seats. And meanwhile, thank God I had my phone with me. I'm, like, communicating back and forth with production.
Were you supposed to be at a location and
yes,
you missed it?
Yes, early the next morning. I was meant to be at a location. So throughout the night, a woman who worked at the American Embassy was a huge Amazing Race fan, and somehow she managed to use her powers of persuasion to get them to process a visa for me. 8 o'clock the next morning, an officer came in, got me, escorted me through the airport, got my passport stamped. I ran to the mat. I got there like three minutes before the first team arrived, I hadn't shot anything because I was made to have shot all the introductions to all the different challenges. That was my visit to Ukraine. Wow. So, no, I don't just walk through airports.
All right. How often have your contestants over 30 seasons lost their passports or turned up with passports that expired?
Too many times.
Really?
I mean, you saw what happened last season with Team Fun. Then they were in Zanzibar, and they lose the passport. I mean,
that's not so much Team Fun anymore at that point.
That's like, you're on a race around the world. This passport is the ticket to winning $1 million. How could you lose it?
Like, plus, you're going to get strapped into your
Zanzibar
body if you don't have a passport.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
You strap it to your body, you never lose that.
Have you ever lost contestants? Where somehow ditch camera people and you have no idea where they are in the world.
Well, in season one, I can't remember what the episode was called, but we literally lost, I think it was Paul and Amy? No, Paul, anyway, I can't remember his partner's name. But they literally got lost in the desert. They were out in the middle of the desert. This was season one. We were in Tunisia.
No.
And they're out there in the desert, and there's no cell phone communication. And we, for a period of time, where are they? We didn't know where they were. They just took a wrong turn
there.
At the sand dune.
Were you thinking at the time, this is the end of the show, it seemed like a pretty good run?
I thought after the first episode of the show that we're all done and we're never going to make it. We got to Songwe Village at the first leg of the Amazing Race ever, and we all stood on the hill and nobody said anything, and we looked out and the sun was setting and we all looked at each other. Nobody said anything, and then finally someone goes, "Are we going to be able to make it to the end?" Like, we thought, what have we unleashed here?
It's just
like
not possible.
Pandora's box was open. We were on this crazy race, and we thought, how are we going to get through this? So if anybody in that moment had said, "Phil, brace yourself because there'll be 30 seasons of Amazing Race
later." Phil, you could make it easier on yourself by not filming an entire season in 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, and who's going to pay for that?
Is that what it is?
Is it about money?
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, every day you're out, you've got all these people.
You probably made CBS $1 billion at this point. They could give you 12 hours off here and there.
Well, listen, travel is more expensive.
Right.
Production is more expensive. Equipment is more expensive. Everything is more expensive. So it's about efficiency.
You're more expensive.
Probably.
Am I right?
Well, I am earning more now than I was at the beginning. I will say that because I was paying them. It's just more expensive. So we shoot 12 shows in 21 days, and that's just how it works. Because it adds up. If you've got 100 people out on the road and just staying one night,
I guess so. Yeah.
Multiply 100 by 100 rooms, and the average say is $150 a night for a room. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, we're going to run out of time, and I hate it because we always enjoy so much when you come in. The Amazing Race airs tonight at 8 on CBS in its 30th season.
Do you love this new time slot? I mean, it's crazy. We get Wednesday night. Thank you, Kelly Cole, President CBS Television, for giving us Wednesday night. Fans
love
it. There's
a reason this series has won 10 Emmys, by the way. Definitely check it out. Before you go, though, you got another show debuting later this year with National Geographic, and this is another one where you're traveling, right?
Yes. So National Geographic Explorer started in 1985. It's an iconic show. When I first moved to America in 1992, it was my dream show to work on, and no idea that I would ever get a chance to actually host. And so on Saturday, they named me as the host of Explorer. There's going to be 20 Emmy episodes. We'll be going around the world telling extraordinary stories, natural history stories, human stories, animal stories. And there's 10 correspondents, world-class correspondents, telling stories. And I'll be on my own adventure and then setting up and throwing out to these stories.
How fun for you.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it.
Are you not tired of travel?
No. No, I mean, you know that expression, you're a long time dead?
Yes.
Yeah, but you're a long time dead. So my thing is, man, I love
it.
I see a plane. I'm not joking. I see a plane and I think, am I meant to be on it?
After all this time.
And a little envy, like, I wonder where that plane's going. No, I really, really love it. And thank goodness. And, race is always fresh and exciting and new and different. I just can't imagine being stuck on a show that sort of repeats itself, and
right.
this show doesn't. And
why are you looking at us?
I'm not looking at you. I love you guys. Listen, you guys are constantly mixing it up. I do think your show would be spiced up by a few goats every now and again.
I'm not
agree. I agree, Phil.
All right, before you go, we do have one other feature.
But
and
can't I point out your coworker? I mean, come
your
on,
Mug, yeah.
Mug is. I've known Mug a long time. Mm-hmm.
You tried to get him in shape. For
I
a long tried. Time.
I did try to get him in shape. I walk in today and I look, and Mug is half the Mug that Mug used to be.
Mm.
Mug,
I wouldn't
he's
say
just
half.
He's lost a lot of weight. He did lift up his shirt and show us his stomach, didn't
which
he?
No one needed to
which,
no
necessary. Which was not necessary. You're mm-hmm. right. But and dude, you need a waxing. but I am very proud of you. You're svelte. You're handsome. Your belly has shrunk. You're,
Take
you
it
look
easy.
Taller.
Thank you, Phil.
He's
all right,
taller.
Phil, stand down. We've got questions.
Oh, stand down. Okay.
All right, speed round, 60 seconds, whatever comes to your mind first. What's the worst job that you ever had?
I had to crutch sheep. Cut what? The wool around their crutches.
Oh. What's the most surprising thing people don't know about you?
That I play the violin.
Many of the contestants get lost during The Amazing Race. When was the last time you got completely lost?
At Christmas time, walking through the bush, I thought I could take a shortcut and had no idea where I was.
What did you want to be as a kid?
A professional cyclist.
Dog kisses on the mouth, cool or not cool?
Totally uncool, stop it.
What song makes you want to shake the ass?
What's that one about the bitch? I don't know what this is.
Bitch better have my money?
Probably. I don't okay. know. It's something my daughter's listening to.
Is goat yoga the most nonsensical thing you've ever heard of?
Each to their own.
Remember that family you called the Blacks?
Yes.
Because it was their name?
Yes.
That was so shocking. Should competitive eater Joey Chestnut put down the hot dogs and maybe jog a little?
Absolutely. The guy sweats more than a fountain, and he needs to stop immediately and go on a diet.
There
Mugs, please talk to him.
Thank you, Phil. We'll see you again soon, my friend.
All right.
LA NOC's alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Let me tell you about a little band called Queens of the Stone Age. They're playing the Forum on February 17th. Nothing bad could ever happen at a Queens of the Stone Age concert at the Forum. So we're giving away tickets to that, and then you qualify to see them at Boston Calling. It's a music festival, Memorial Day weekend in Boston, which is an unbelievable lineup, by the way, with Jack White and Eminem and Portugal the Man and Royal Blood and the Killers and Paramore and so much more. So you qualify for that. So your chance to win those Queens tickets and qualify for the big prize. We'll do the grand prize drawing Monday morning, coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. Hey, what's happening, Allie?
Well, I don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or mm-hmm. the Let's Go to an Island Makeout show.
Bachelor in Paradise.
I was not aware of how divisive this Nick Viall guy is. But people really hate this dude. So he was competing on The Bachelorette. He didn't win it.
Right.
So then he went to the island to make out.
Right.
And then he was scummy there. Mm-hmm. And then the producers were like, you're gross and
right.
boring and
yes.
scummy. Let's make you The Bachelor.
Especially boring, yes.
Especially boring. Mm-hmm. So from there, he landed dates with January Jones. I don't...
That doesn't make sense.
And the
Stop it.
I know. Apparently, she was on James Corden earlier last year and said, quote, you don't know if you like him or if he's a scumbag. And I think that's why I'm attracted to him. So if you're this bachelor, bachelorette, makeout island mm-hmm. guy and you see that and you're like, I'm this guy. That's January Jones.
Right.
I'm reaching out.
Yeah. All you think is that's January Jones and she's talking about me.
Yes.
He doesn't care that she's calling him a name.
No.
And for folks who don't know, very popular, very beautiful actress on Last Man on Earth. She's probably most famous for Mad Men. I mean, she is gorgeous.
She's Betty Draper.
She
Come
sure is.
On. So apparently he then reached out and said, hey, let's do a lip sync battle together. And she declined. But then he said, let's go out for a drink. And she accepted. And they've now been dating about 2 months.
That's just not acceptable.
I don't get it. Well, Twitter exploded when this news came out. Natalia said, my biggest question is, how can you be a super fan of the show and still date Nick? Which seems to be a lot of people's questions. All caps, we need to stage an intervention immediately. And my favorite, this is like climbing to the top of Mount Everest and tumbling down to the bottom. Not a lot of love for Nick.
I mean, it's going to be pretty sweet when she moves on to somebody else.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
But Kevin, and you're a Bachelor fan, as bad as Nick is, isn't Ari worse?
I mean, that's tough. They're both terrible.
Really?
They're both dull as hell.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
That's a tough call.
Yeah. Well, if you saw Kid Rock trending yesterday on Twitter and you clicked on it and you're an NHL fan, you went, oh, really? Kid Rock will headline the entertainment for the NHL All-Star Game in Tampa on Sunday, January 28th.
That's an odd choice.
It is an odd choice. We were saying if it was in Detroit, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that makes some sense. He's got such a connection with the city. But what's he been doing lately other than saying he was going to run for office and then saying, hasn't no,
he,
I'm not?
Hasn't he transitioned into sort of country music, Bean?
Yes. Yeah. Country and roots rock and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, this was...
He's still popular. I mean, he definitely still sells records and sells out concerts.
Okay. Well, this was the first line of the press release, which just made me laugh. Kid Rock burst onto the scene in 1998 with his Devil Without a Cause album and hasn't looked back.
Wrong.
I mean, he hasn't looked back, you guys. So
I like that album, and I haven't liked him since.
How'd they go from Blink-182 and Snoop Dogg last year...
Yep.
To Kid Rock
I don't
this
know.
Year. That is a interesting choice.
Someone said you never go after Kid Rock for your event. You settle for Kid Rock if everybody else says no.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay, that makes more sense. I saw this story and I thought, interesting. Lindsay Lohan, could she finally be growing up the tender age of 31? Page Six is reporting that she was very professional at a club appearance over the weekend. And by professional, she showed up on time and took lots of photos with fans. In other words, she did what she was supposed to do.
Right.
So is that now worth a gossip report? Is she turning a new leaf?
Because she used to fail miserably at everything she tried.
I feel like lately she hasn't been. And now she's trying to rebrand because she's starting a makeup line and is in talks to design her own island in Dubai. What?
She has been living in Dubai for a while.
She's going to design an island, Kevin.
Okay.
All right. Okay. You heard it here first.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I am entertained. Also entertaining, Jack White. Did you see his tour date release, Bean?
I saw that he has announced one. I have not checked the dates myself.
Well, he has announced his schedule so far, and his new album comes out on March 23rd. That's called Boarding House Ranch. So far, no L.A. dates. The closest to us are Santa Barbara, San Diego, and then if you want to head north, San Francisco. But it looks like he's closing out the tour in Las Vegas.
Oh, all right.
So that could be fun to go to. Who's with me? Why am I talking like this? Another day, another accusation against Kevin Spacey, but this time... it's not sexual in nature. Instead, he might be a big old racist. He's been accused of using racial slurs on the set of House of Cards. He allegedly would use the N-word, and he told his security manager he didn't want black security personnel watching the show's trailer. The head of VIP Protective Services said he complained to managers on the set of the show, but was told, quote, that's just the way he is.
What a horrible human being.
No.
Yes. And that head of VIP services, his employee, also claimed that Spacey refused to shake the hands of any black security guards on the set as well.
No.
I mean, what, Kevin?
Now what?
Spacey.
Oh, good.
Not Ryder. Just.
I can't get my head around a racist president.
Well, he was just president on that show.
Oh.
And we would never, settle for a racist president. No way. Some birthdays for you today. Jim Carrey, Betty White, Steve Harvey, Calvin Harris, Lil Jon, Zooey Deschanel, former First Lady Michelle Obama, Kid Rock, Tiësto, James Earl Jones, and Maury Povich. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:34.
So you're telling me that Blink-182 last year played the NHL All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this year it's and Snoop Dogg, too. But this year it's Kid Rock.
Right.
Yeah. Onwards and upwards.
That seems like quite a fall off in quality.
Yeah. It does seem like a step down.
I was wondering, maybe because it was in L.A., it was a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
I mean, Florida.
Florida, Kid Rock.
Right? Well, Florida, we all know, makes poor choices.
That's correct.
Okay, it's 9:35 here on a Wednesday morning. That means it's time for What's Happening. Here's Ellie.
I've got great news for
you
guys.
What?
Great news. Okay. For you guys, just holding on to that Bitcoin, not quite sure what to do with it. Well, this news comes out of the Bunny Ranch. Dennis Hoff, the owner and operator, said that they're working out a way to accept Bitcoin as payment for their lady's services. Excellent news for you guys. He said that the Bunny Ranch has a very powerful, wealthy clientele, and accepting the cryptocurrency would alleviate the need for those clients to walk in with bags of cash to keep the transaction private.
Bags of cash?
Happening? All I'm picturing is dudes walking in, like in the cartoons where it would have the big dollar sign on the outside, and it's just scrunched up in their hand. Who is walking in with bags of cash? How long are they staying? What are they getting?
Agreed.
I need more info. A lot right there. The Grammys are returning to New York City for the first time in 15 years and celebrating their 60th. So they're doing it big. Not only Childish Gambino, Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Pink. Those are just the names that we found out about a week ago. Well, today some new names of performers have been listed. Kendrick Lamar.
Wow.
Sam Smith.
Wow.
You two.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And then this, which I read and thought, that's weird. And then I thought, that's awesome. Elton John is apparently going to perform some of his past hits with some assistance from Miley Cyrus.
This is the Grammys!
It is the Grammys. Like, that's just insane. Grammys like some wackadoodle stuff.
They do like to put people together that don't make sense.
Yes, that
but
I'm interested in.
But this makes sense, though.
She annoys me.
She's got such a good voice, though. If you can look past the tongue hanging out and the, I'm crazy.
Which she hasn't done for 2 years, by the way.
Can do that.
Like Elton John and Eminem, that was different. That was
for a reason.
Yeah, that was for a reason.
At a time that mattered, yeah.
Yeah, this is, though, just two compatible singers, a younger generation and an older generation, singing songs that I think they'll both sound good on.
I dig it. I like it. Grammys will air on CBS on January 28th.
Is this James Corden hosting? Is that right?
It is James Corden.
Okay.
That's indeed.
Good show.
Yeah, it really is.
Although, I'm pouring one out for my homie LL Cool J. I'm certainly going to miss him.
Oh, man,
you are. Oh. Seriously, though, he never licked his lips that much, did he?
He did.
He didn't,
but then once Bean pointed it out,
that's
all
you
I could see.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, I like it. Remember yesterday we were talking about the Clippers game and how insane it got. Blake Griffin ejected. Chris Paul had brought people through a secret tunnel to get into the locker room to beat up the guys on the Clippers. It was nuts, right?
Right.
So very weird timing for the Clippers to be doing a huge event with LAUSD yesterday. They had to show up. They had to do this event. And, of course, everyone wanted to know about that fight instead of what was one of the greatest things I think the Clippers Foundation has ever done. So Blake Griffin and the LA Clippers Foundation have partnered with a nonprofit called Vision to Learn and the LAUSD. They are providing free eye exams and glasses to every LAUSD student in need throughout the district.
Wow.
So,
that seems cool.
And this is a nuts number. Out of over 600,000 students, an estimated 15 to 20% need glasses. And over the next 2 years, every student K through 12th grade in LAUSD who needs an eye exam and glasses will get them free of charge. Which is just,
that's really cool.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Hardcore! Hardcore!
Yeah, so I watched news yesterday, and they had Ballmer there, and they had Blake Griffin there. Every single question
of course
was about the fight.
Tell us
and
about
then
the fight.
The poor sports anchor was like, yeah, we'll get to the eye thing that's cool in a minute, but first. It's like, oh no. Just
how do you
so
think the
sad.
Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
That's a good question.
I think they're doing pretty good. Aren't they 5 games winning streak? I don't know. Dave doesn't listen to the show.
No.
It's very upsetting. But Blake Griffin got into this because his brother Taylor struggled with poor vision as a kid. And he noticed how that would affect him with learning. And it's so simple. If you think about it, if a kid can't see what's in front of them, they're going to give up on the learning aspect. They're just going to feel so dejected that this is going to help out in that aspect as well. It's beautiful.
That's very cool. I like that.
Way to go.
But
Clippers.
Tell us about the fight.
But more on the fight, if you could. Like the secret tunnel, what's that all about? It is crazy. It is nuts. This is just cuckoo news, but Prince is going to be back in Minneapolis for a concert. RollingStone.com says that footage of Prince performing will be projected on a huge screen backed by a live orchestra. It's called Prince Live on the Big Screen. It's going to happen April 21st at the Target Center, which will also be the second anniversary of his death.
Does Prince's music seem like the type that would lend itself to an orchestra arrangement?
Oh, the whole Purple Rain soundtrack.
I think that would work, but why wouldn't they use a hologram? Why are they going back to just projecting it on a screen?
Because I think I would rather see projecting on a screen, him actually performing, looking cool.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, but a hologram, I know that it's been updated, it looks cooler, and it looks more alive. I'd rather know that it's just there on a screen.
You don't want to be confused with the fact that Prince might be here?
Oh, my God, he's back. Oh, no, it's a hologram. When I see it on a screen, I know he's dead.
Okay, so he's 2D for you.
Yeah, it makes no sense, but to me, in my head, I'd rather see it just projected on a screen.
That's an odd choice. But okay.
How dare you? You guys, HBO and Apple are fighting over who's going to get the new series by J.J. Abrams. It's a big-budget sci-fi family drama about a world's battle against a monstrous, oppressive force. And it's the first series created by J.J. since Fringe, which was a decade ago.
I love that.
So people are clamoring for this. And it's not like he's busy, J.J. Abrams. He's doing the psychological horror drama series Castle Rock on Hulu that he does with Stephen King. Mm-hmm. He's executive producer on HBO's Westworld, as well as Showtime's Roadies, as well as CBS's Person of Interest. And, oh, yeah, he's writing and directing the next Star Wars movie.
There's that.
He's very busy.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams is good.
I once had a conversation with him at Jimmy Kimmel's wedding. And I just
to pick up that name you dropped.
And I just went up and I said hi to him. And he said something to me that was a conversation ender.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what are you going to do next? And he said, well, I have to leave here and go back and write Star Wars. And I was like, I got nothing else.
Have you ever felt worse about your life?
No, I was just like, okay. I'm going to go back home, and you're going to go write Star Wars.
You were probably going to Cold Stone or something after the
right?
Wedding,
so that's pretty much even.
Soups.
I win.
Yeah. Nice work.
Yeah.
Well, Solo, a Star Wars story due out this May, will reportedly feature the first meeting between Han and his future co-pilot Chewbacca. According to the Disney press kit, they have this to say about the plotline. Through a series of daring escapades deep within a dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian.
What is the attraction of Star Wars? Who can say?
In a journey that will set the course of one of the Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. I gotta say, I was excited for Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Great. I am so excited for the Han Solo standalone.
More excited for this than that.
Absolutely.
I can see that.
Maybe even more excited for this than I was for Last Jedi. Is that weird? I'm just so team Solo. I love him so much.
You do love him so much. Yeah.
So much. Plus Donald Glover's in it.
You do have pillows with him on it.
Well, I have him and Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. One pillow is his profile and one profile is hers. Hers says, I love you. His says, I know.
Are you mentally insane?
I am very insane, but trust me, people talk about my pillows.
Let the romance begin.
Some birthdays today. Michelle Obama, Jim Carrey, Betty White, Steve Harvey, Calvin Harris, Lil Jon, Zooey Deschanel, Tiesto, Kid Rock, James Earl Jones, and Maury Povich. And that's what's happening.
The SoCal Help tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. We talk NFL playoffs with Jim Rome. We check in with Dr. Drew. We have David Wayne in studio, who's directing A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Oh, looks so good.
Which looks so good. Brand new internet roundup, comedian Adam Ray, and more Ducks Kings tickets. So that's tomorrow morning on an all new show.